KPBS On Demand is supported by the Museum of Contemporary Art San Diego, presenting For Dear Life, Art, Medicine, and Disability, an exhibition exploring how illness and disability become catalysts in art. Learn more at mcasd.org.
Good morning, I'm Tepe Cruz. It's Thursday, October 31st. Happy Halloween. How the San Diego City Council is responding to software used to set rental prices. More on that next. But first, let's do the headlines. A Del Mar-based nonprofit is working to remove trash from Tijuana River tributaries before it enters the ocean. Trash booms are floating barriers that catch solid waste and let water flow through. Wild Coast installed one in Los Laureles Canyon in Tijuana in 2021. This week, they added a second one in Matadero Canyon. They say the two trash booms will stop more than 160,000 pounds of trash from entering the Pacific Ocean each year. A reopening date has been set for Harborside Park and Chula Vista after being closed for more than 2 years because of an increase in crime and homeless encampments. The park will reopen on December 16th. The announcement was made by city officials earlier this week during a meeting at Harborside Elementary School. Chula Vista Mayor John McCann says the park will only be open during certain hours of the day. Tonight's weather is going to be chilly, so if you're planning to go trick-or-treating for Halloween, don't forget a jacket. The National Weather Service says today and over the next few days, we can expect temperatures well below normal for this time of year. In the inland and desert areas, temps will be in the 70s during the day and will drop into the 50s by nighttime. By the coast, it'll be in the 60s most of the day, then in the 50s at night. And in the mountains during the day, it's expected to be in the high 50s and in the 40s at night. And here's a few safety tips before you head out the door this evening. Be aware of your surroundings when walking and driving. Make sure kids are accompanied by an adult and check your kids' candy before they eat it. The city of San Diego also suggests that kids carry a flashlight. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hi, I'm Bill Hohen.
And I'm Ted Hohen.
Over the past 50 years, our family has brought many world-class dealerships to Carlsbad, including Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Audi, Honda, Acura, Jaguar, and Land Rover.
That's right. This year we're celebrating 50 years in Carlsbad.
So on behalf of the entire Hohen family, we want to thank San Diego. Throughout the years, we've taken tremendous pride in meeting and even exceeding our customers' automotive needs.
We value the relationships with our clients and look forward to serving you for years to come. We invite you to visit one of the Hohen Carlsbad dealerships or hohenmotors.com.
The San Diego City Council is moving to ban software used by landlords to set rental prices. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says supporters argue it amounts to 21st century price fixing.
Some landlords in San Diego subscribe to RealPage, a company that collects private data on rental housing and feeds it through an algorithm to help landlords charge the highest rent possible. The U.S. Department of Justice is suing the company under antitrust laws, though the lawsuit will take years to be resolved. City Council President Sean Ila Rivera says, in the meantime, San Diego should declare the practice illegal.
I won't pretend like this law will solve the housing crisis by itself. It won't. We need more housing to be built, especially for low and middle income San Diegans. But that does not mean that we shouldn't do all we can to lower housing costs every way that we can.
A council committee advanced the proposal Wednesday, directing the city attorney's office to draft an ordinance to be considered by the full city council. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
Last month, more than 1,300 people became homeless for the first time in San Diego County. Just over 1,000 people were rehoused. Reporter Jacob Aird takes us to a meeting of those trying to solve the problem.
Interfaith Community Services holds a meeting every year to talk about what's working and what's needed to help those who are unhoused. This year, officials from Escondido, Carlsbad, San Marcos, and Oceanside took part in the discussion inside the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. San Marcos Mayor Rebecca Jones says her city is providing rental assistance and other forms of help.
In San Marcos, we have really been very intentional about our affordable housing. So we have about 10% of our housing stock, 3,300 units, that are deed restricted affordable. So that's how we have actually really helped people not get into homelessness.
Both the North County Coastal and North County Inland regions saw an increase in homeless individuals over the past year, according to 2024 point-in-time count data. Jones says a key to addressing the homelessness crisis will be collaborating with other cities. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
Public opinion polls are often in the news this election season. So how do pollsters survey all kinds of people in this era of cell phones, texts, and social media? SciTech reporter Thomas Fudge has the story.
Understanding what most people really like or want is not something you can figure out by just talking to your friends. Polling the general public requires a practiced, scientific approach, and a lot of people see it as a crucial part of our democracy. Political science professor Marissa Abrajano at UC San Diego uses surveys a lot in her research.
Oftentimes, what elites, our elected officials, care about can often be very different from what the public cares about. And so you want to make sure that as a representative democracy, that legislators are being responsive to the needs of their constituents. And this is where public opinion plays a valuable role in understanding those needs.
An opinion poll is a set of interviews with a finite number of people chosen at random whose views can represent a much larger group of people, likely voters, for instance. The invention of the telephone has made the job a lot easier, but today that's not the only way to reach people. Political scientist Thad Kauser, also of UCSD, harkens back to telephone polling in what he calls the old days.
Now, in the old days, to do that, you'd actually use random digit dialers to pull a random subsample of the phone numbers. But who answers their phone now? Or people have multiple phones, maybe a few cell phones in a family, but no landline.
In other words, welcome to the 21st century of telecommunications. People do still call people for surveys or anything else, but they also text, they email, they communicate through social media. With so many ways of contacting people, what do you do? Pollster John Neenstead, president of Competitive Edge Research and Communication, says you have to use all of the tools that are out there.
Currently, the best way to do polling and survey research is using a multi-mode approach.
Different people communicate in different ways, depending on their age or levels of education. So if you're not using multiple ways of reaching out, you're not reaching a random representative public.
You have to understand the sample methodology so that they all balance out. You don't want to have 90% of your surveys done via text or 80% of your surveys done via landline. You have to have the mix and the proportion that would be reflected in the population.
Pollsters sometimes give people incentives to be part of a survey. Gift cards are a common one. Some people are more accessible, you know, easier to reach.
Typically, older folks who have voted a lot are reachable. Renters, younger people, very busy people are less reachable.
Every group of respondents are going to fall short of fully representing the general public. And that's why pollsters use a process called weighting. If you don't have enough demographic diversity in your sample, you give certain groups and their opinions a greater statistical weight when you sum up the results. Kauser says statistical weighting can expand your polling options. Let's say you have a group of people who want to be part of a survey and they're willing to take it online.
We know about their demographics, their education level, their race and ethnicity, where they live, their age. And we can pull people from those buckets If we have too many people in one bucket, we can downweight their survey responses in order to get a fairly good estimate that's representative of the population as a whole.
Back in the good old days of polling, when almost everybody had a telephone landline, getting a random sample of opinion was a bit simpler. Today, the hard work of pursuing a random opinion sample means you can't rely on people to opt into a survey with no incentives and no encouragement. There's a big difference between just putting a survey on a website and hoping somebody fills it out, and proactively pursuing every respondent and learning who they are. Kauser says, in the end, all respondents have to decide whether they want to be part of an opinion poll.
Every survey is functionally an opt-in survey, right? You can't, there's no law saying you have to pick up their phone when someone calls you or you have to respond to that email.
And that's why even the best survey is bound to get it a little bit wrong. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
One border artist is reimagining abandoned Baja buildings as lost souls. Arts reporter Julia Dixon Evans explores how 46 Renacimientos reflects remembrance and loss.
At the height of the 2008 housing crisis, 46 high-rise construction projects were abandoned from Tijuana to Ensenada. Architectural artist Alvaro Alvarez says the developments were meant to bring pride to the Baja region and affordable luxury housing for Americans.
$3 billion U.S. dollars in sales, 12,500 homes, 65,000 jobs, and it all became halted because of the financial crash. So for 15 years, they've been sitting on the beach as concrete and steel skeletons.
He's created 46 sculptural paintings to honor each abandoned building. Using discarded construction materials, trash, and paper mache, he renders the buildings and landscapes in grayscale, even the Pacific Ocean. Alvarez will memorialize the buildings and their promise of eventual completion in a Día de Muertos exhibit.
Day of the Dead was very important because it sort of put on this project, these 46 buildings, on the same plane as something as heavy as loss. As much as we discuss this as a rebirth, as a celebration, a lot of people suffer financial loss on this, and it's a difficult part of our history.
Julia Dixon Evans, KPBS News.
The exhibit is on view for one day only, this Saturday from noon to 5 p.m. at Black Box Gallery in San Ysidro. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. In tomorrow's podcast, the Executive Director, Susan G. Komen San Diego, joins us to talk about this weekend's More Than Pink Walk and Breast Cancer Awareness. Join us again for that, plus the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening. Have a safe and happy Halloween.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhaus Plumbing, Heating, and Air Restoration and Flood Services. Family-owned and operated over four decades, Bilhaus has been serving the plumbing, heating, and air and water damage needs of the San Diego area since 1980. With their fleet of trained professionals, Bilhaus has the ability to service all major and minor plumbing and HVAC emergency needs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Bilhaus is committed to providing excellent service to their customers with transparent quotes and attention to detail on every job. Whether you're in need of an HVAC installation, plumbing, or water damage restoration in San Diego, they offer the convenience of scheduling an appointment over the phone, online, or through live chat on their website. Call 1-800-BILHAUS or visit bilhaus.com, because we know how.